this morning, I am going to, I've had a word on my, just one word on my, on in my mind and in my heart for the last few days, really. And that word is encouragement. Encouragement. And God gave me the title of Standing Like Giants. And I feel that it's time for the church once again to rise up and to begin to stand shoulder to shoulder with one another in this season, where we stand beside each other to encourage one another again to greatness. And those of us that feel like the little grasshoppers, we want to encourage them to stand up and to grow and to come out into who they are, call them out into who they are, to be the giants that they were created to be. Yeah? Come on. So remember, if you're on Facebook this morning, if you're watching us live on Facebook, then we would love you to come and just share. So on here, you can see a little photograph, and you just press your share button and it'll give you the option to share to your page, and just do that so that this word gets out all over the show, all through the nations. And we're excited. Good morning, Andrew Miles. Good to have you on here on Facebook with us this morning. So Numbers chapter 13, let's turn to Numbers chapter 13 this morning, and let's look at where encouragement is needed and how encouragement came about. So morning, Maggie McClelland. Nice to have you on here this morning. Welcome. Thank you for getting the word out, guys. So Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse 1, and it says, "The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of Israelites. And we're going to skip all the names and go straight through to verse 17. So Numbers 13, verse 17. "When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and onto the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are the trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." And it was the season of the first ripe grapes. "So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. And they went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. And they were like the giants in the land. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes, and two of them carried it on a pole between them." Can you imagine one cluster of grapes so huge that they had to put it through a pole and it took two men to carry it? And these were like the leaders. These were like the strong men of these tribes. It took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. Come on. "Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with pomegranates and figs." I wonder what size the figs and the pomegranates were.
Big.
"That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. Then they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: 'We went into the land to which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit.'" Can you imagine the people's eyes going, "Oh my gosh, we've been in a desert living on manna and quail for like all these years. And here, look at this fruit." It must have been the first time they saw like fruit. Can you imagine? They'd be like salivating, like "The people who, but There's always a but. The people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they'd explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim." They're the descendants of Anak that come from the Nephilim. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." We looked the same to them. Oh my gosh, how fast does a bad report spread through a group of people? How fast does gossip, negativity spread like delicate delicacies? The book of Proverbs says that they're like morsels, delicacy morsels that people suck up and chew on. So here we have two different groups. We have two teams on this 12-team tribe. So, and I think it's like many of the body of Christ today see themselves as only grasshoppers, don't they? They don't see themselves as giants or big or powerful. You know, they don't see themselves as armed and dangerous or carrying the power of heaven, possessed by the very spirit of the living God. The disciples of Christ 2,000 years ago, the disciples of Christ in China and other persecuted nations were the giants of God in their land. They were beaten, they were put to death, they were starved, they were thirsty, they were hidden. Yet, thousands were and still are added to the body of Christ every day through their total love for God and for one another. We have forgotten, I think, that we're giants. And I think we've become grasshoppers in our own eyes, useless, powerless to the communities around us. We have forgotten that we have the power of heaven harnessed within our spirit and the fire of God to heal and deliver. We hide from sickness instead of casting it down. We care more about our own comfort than the lonely and the poor, the lost. And you know what, guys? It's time to rise up again and become those giants again. God is calling us once again to arise, to awaken, to stand firm, to stand with one another, to raise each other up, to bless one another, to take time for one another, to once again be that body where love flows with ease among us. And the Bible says also the world will know when we actually get together and we do that, when we begin to stand shoulder to shoulder, when we begin to stand side by side, the Bible says that the world will know that Abba sent Yeshua and that he loves them as he loves us. So when we begin to see ourselves not as grasshoppers, as we begin to see ourselves as the giants in the land, that the land belongs to us. Now, we're told to take the territory. Every place your foot will tread will become yours. But how did they take the land? They had to fight for that land. They had to come together for that land. They had to be as one for that land. No dissension. We want the world today to know and to see that we are unified in God. And when that happens, when we begin to stand together and not criticize one another, not gossip about one another, but actually raise each other up, teach each other how to be powerful, to say, "Come on, you can do this," to encourage each other to stand. The world will know. The promise of God is the world will know him. The world will know him because of our unity, because we stand shoulder to shoulder. It's a big responsibility that we carry as the church today, as his body. So in this chapter of Numbers, Moses had two teams. We had team one, who were the grasshoppers. They were weak. They were breakable. They were unable to fight. They were already defeated and they were hopeless. That's how they were. They were like, oh, we can't do it. Whinge, whinge, moan, moan, moan. All they looked at was the natural things. They forgot the promises of God. They forgot that God had said, I will give you victory. I will give you victory. And then we had team two, who are the giants in the land. And the team two giants said, we can do this. We are strong. We are powerful. God has promised. We already have the victory. We already have the victory in God. So team one, to me, looked at the circumstances around them and they talked themselves into defeat. They talked themselves into defeat. Have you ever been in a group where people are wanting to do something together? And then somebody will say something negative and go, oh, yeah, we didn't think about that. Oh, and what if that happens? And you actually hear this little group talk themselves out of doing something. They literally talk themselves out of it. And here in Numbers, in chapter 13, we see those that were negative spreading this like a virus through the camp of Israel. And then we had team two, and they remembered and believed what God had spoken to Moses and encouraged themselves, and they encouraged one another. And what happened was they raised people up. They raised up the nation. They raised up the tribe, and they took the land that was promised. So I'm like, I want to set you a challenge this morning. To what challenges are you facing right now? What promises are you fighting for right now? What are the things that God has spoken over your life that you are hearing two voices on? You're hearing the voice of man and you're hearing the voice of God. Who do you need to surround yourself with now? Do you need to surround yourself with team one, or do you need to surround yourself with team two? I think we have a choice in these days who we surround ourselves with, whether we surround ourselves with those that see themselves like giants and will encourage you to be a giant, or you can surround yourself with team one, the grasshoppers, who stay at ground level and never really rise above that. So what is it you're fighting for, and who do you want to surround yourself with in these days? When you face these circumstances, you have a choice. You can either turn to those who will sympathize with you and talk you out of it or feel sorry for you, or you can turn to God and to those who will call you out and encourage you to stand for what has been spoken. I want to be one that encourages people to stand, yeah? So today I want to look at what the scripture means by encouragement, you know, because we just think it's like a word or, you know, oh, bless you, you know, stay the course, you can do this. But actually, in the Old Testament, encourage is a Hebrew word called shazak. And that means to strengthen. It means to prevail. It means to be courageous. It means to stand firm and to sustain. Woo! Let me just say that again. The word encouragement in the Old Testament is a Hebrew word, shazak, and it means to strengthen, to prevail, to be courageous, to stand firm, and to sustain. First, this word, shazak, is formed out of three Hebrew letters. The first is chet, the second is ain, and the third is oph. And you can, I've actually got a lot of this information from Roz's book, Hebrew Gold, which you can, Discovering Hebrew Gold, it's on our dresser, if you want to get it, which you can get on Amazon. And so it's called Discovering Hebrew Gold. And I guarantee that this little book will take you down so many bunny trails. Your time with Jesus will fly by. There'll be an hour or whatever will go past and you'll just think, oh my gosh, that was amazing what I've learned today. So number one, the first letter is chet. What does that word mean? And so let's remember that these three letters make up the Hebrew word for encouragement, okay? So chet means a wall or hedge of protection. A wall or hedge of protection. And then the old English word chet is a word for fortress or camp, like Manchester or Chester. So you can see how it's been carried forward even today, the strength of that word. So the first letter is chet, and that means a wall or a hedge of protection. The second letter is Zayin, which means a sword. And it speaks of the protection as God fights for us in our battles, or battles for us as we even worship. Even as we worship, his sword is drawn and he is fighting our battles. You know that little song, it says, when I feel like I'm surrounded by you. Come on, when we feel like we're surrounded, the Zayin of God is drawn and he is fighting for us on our behalf. Right at that moment, with the sword drawn, as we worship him, our battle is actually releasing that unto God so that he battles for us. He is the one that dispels darkness. He is the one that brings down the enemy. Our job is to worship and to stand on the true promise that we are protected, that he is hedged around us. The psalm says that he is a hedge of protection around us. He hems us in behind and before, and his shield covers our head. I'll just bring this up. This is this little book, Discovering Hebrew Gold, and it's by Roz Bowyer. So you can find this on Amazon, and it is, honestly, it'll take you through like letters of the Hebrew alphabet and explain it all at the beginning and how you get into this and where you can go from there. So amazing little book. So Zayin, the sword of God. Chet, the wall of protection. The last letter in that is the letter Oph, and it's representative of a circuit or a set time and a listening ear, a listening ear. And it speaks of bringing something into completion. Speak of something into completion. And also this last letter, this was really interesting what I read in this little book again. That Oph, the last letter of the word encouragement, is the numerical value of Oph is 100. Okay, so each letter has a numerical value, but the letter Oph is the numerical value of 100. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus taught a parable on the lost sheep, didn't he? How he left the 99 and he went to look after the one. And I never thought, I just thought, oh, that's really nice that he doesn't leave the one out, you know, that he noticed it missing. So he went and got it out of compassion, really, and to rescue it. But actually, that 100, in those days, 100 sheep was a complete flock, and it was a sign of wealth, a sign of abundance, and gave them position in their society, in their culture. So when one went missing, he no longer had a complete flock. He no longer had that same status. So that shepherd would have gone out and searched for that sheep to bring it back, to bring his flock back into completion. Is that not, that 100 displays like wealth and prosperity and completeness. Do you remember what we were said about Oph being something that brings something to completion? So that lost sheep brought his flock to completion. When you think, like, if you're claiming to be a millionaire, you have to have what? £1 million, at least £1 million. If you're missing £1 and you're down to 999,999, you're no longer a millionaire. You can't get into the millionaires club. You can't buy a $1 million car. You can't buy a $1 million house. That £1 note or $1 will make so much difference to your life. There has to be a completion. There has to be the whole thing has to come together. Everything has to fit perfectly for you to be accepted into that sphere of influence, into that bracket. So we have been those lost sheep that Jesus went and searched after to bring a completion into. We are part of the completion, guys, of the flock, of the bride. We are part of that completion of everything that he is calling in today. I just find that really, 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 really exciting. I hope that makes sense to you. So with you. No, let's go somewhere else. Okay, so I kind of did a bit of a paraphrase of Chizak. Okay, so I'm just going to read this paraphrase out to you. So to encourage, to be encouraged. If I say I'm going to encourage you, this is what actually the Hebrew meaning of that means. It means that I will come alongside you to strengthen you, to call you to prevail when it seems that all is against you. I will call you to be courageous and to stand firm. I will stand with you and help sustain you. And as we stand together, the sword of God is raised against your enemies and he battles for you. He fights for you as we worship him. He battles as a victorious warrior on your behalf. You may feel like the one who went astray or the one who is locked down or failed. This may be you today, but you may feel like one who is fighting against the odds and can't see a way out. But God says to you today that you are the sheep of his pasture and he searches for you even now, that he is not complete without you. His ear is attentive to you, listening to you, turned toward you. He is listening to your cry. And I will stand with you and God is fighting for you until this issue is completed. I will not leave your side, nor will God place his sword in his scabbard until its completion. He is your fortress, your safe place, and I will stand alongside you to sustain you, calling you to prevail, calling you into all that you are, calling out your name, all that you were destined to, all that you were purposed to. I will call you to stand firm until the set time of your breakthrough. Now, if we wrote that to one another when people were struggling, if we really truly got the heart of encouragement, that actually for us to encourage someone takes effort. It takes our time. It takes us to be there, to be present in the moment, knowing that God is fighting also, but that we have a responsibility. If we say, I want to encourage you today, that's a very easy word to say and a very hard thing to be committed to. Yet it's who we're called to be. In the New Testament, the word encouragement can be interchanged with the word comfort. So they come from the same base word, parakaleo. And again, there's two parts to this word, parakaleo. Para means to call to one side, to summon, to comfort, to instruct, to console, to strengthen, to teach, and to actually come alongside and stand by someone. And all of this is for the building up of an individual. It's all for encouraging. It's all for edification. Kaleo, on the other hand, means to invite, to call by name, and to call out identity and destiny. So the first part of that word is your physical standing alongside, instructing, consoling, strengthening, teaching. And the second part is actually to call that person out. It's not to let them stay in their mud. It's not to let them stay in their duvet. It's actually to call them out and say, hey, it's time you climbed out of that pit because this is who you are. This is what your name means. This is what you were born for. This is where the prophetic voice of God comes in. I'm going to call out your identity right now. I'm going to tell you your purpose right now so that you know that you have a focus and a goal and something to live for. There's more to where you are right now. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter whoever's listening on here this morning, I just want to encourage you that no matter where you are, what you're facing, what situation you're facing right now, God is bigger than your situation. God is bigger than that pit you're finding yourself in. And he wants to come alongside you and he wants to teach you and instruct you. But he doesn't want to leave you in that place. He is reaching out to you today and he's saying, come on, I'm calling your name, Deborah, Trevor, David, Samuel, Emma, whoever, whatever your name is, God is calling your name. He's calling it out this morning and he's saying, I am calling you into all that I have created you to be. Not what you see around you. Stop hanging around with the grasshoppers that just speak negativity and destruction over you. Come and be with Team B, that team that speaks and calls you to be a giant in the land, that team that encourages you and builds you up. It's time, people. Come on. If that's you, find people that will encourage you. Find people that will call you higher. Find people that will not accept the fact that you are where you are is going to be there forever, but will actually begin to call you out of that place. So this is all about coming alongside one another, getting close to somebody who's struggling and battling whatever circumstances and calling them out, literally calling them out into all that God has for them. So often we look at the gold, or not the gold, the dirt in people, and we hear the dirt about people. And yet God says, let's call out the gold. Let's call out what I see. Let's call out what I see. Let's call out what I speak over them, so that they can come from feeling like a grasshopper to beginning to rise up in their identity and begin to take on the power of God, the fire of God, the purposes of God, and the identity of God upon their lives. We need to protect people in the fight. Look after them. God fights for them. We need to fight for them. We need to see that Zayin, that sword of the Lord that guards and protects them, that battles for them, is to help them, chizek, to encourage them to be strengthened so they can stand firm and be courageous, and to oof them, to help them complete their task, to help them do this circumstance that they're in, or this battle that they're facing, to bring it to completion, taking time to listen, taking time to be there. Just like the shepherd and the 100, like the widow and the cruse of oil, who was desperate and she was encouraged and it brought life. So 1 Samuel 30 speaks about when David came back to Ziklag and found that his family was gone. He and his men had been out at war. And they'd been trapped, they'd been traveling, they'd been fighting, been winning battles. Yet when they came home, there was nothing. Their wives, their children, their possessions, their animals, their everything had been taken. Everything had been stolen. His fighting men, the same, their wives, their children. Can you imagine the absolute depression, the absolute hopelessness that they must have felt, coming back to tell the stories of their victories? And yet here they come to find nothing there. Everything that they had has been someone else's victory. All their hope was gone. Their wives were gone. And then David realized that his men, in the midst of all this, wanted to stone him also. They turned against him. So David at this point was in a place of incredible, incredible despair. Verse 4 in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel says, he wept until he had no strength left. Have you ever wept until you've had no strength? I have. I've wept until I've had no strength. And you know, sometimes we need to get to that place of weeping before we really turn to the Lord with all our heart and have him come in a way that we can only experience in those dark places. In verse 6, how did David handle this weeping until he had no strength? Verse 6 says, but, there's the but again, but David found strength in the Lord. David found strength in the Lord. He finds strength in the Lord. Come on, woohoo! He found strength. He didn't lie there in a pile of tears. He did for a while. But he found strength in God. When he wept unto the Lord came and strengthened him. He found strength in God, not in his past victories or his position or his fame, but the Lord. He found strength in God. And verse 8, David put on his priestly garments. He clothed himself, not in the flesh. You know, he didn't step into team one, into the flesh as a grasshopper. He rose into team two and he put on his armor. He put on his priestly garments and he stood before the Lord and he cried out to the Lord and he said, Lord, what do we do? How do I lead this people to victory? How do we take back what we have lost? Do I go and pursue or do I not? Lord, I stand before you as a priest in your kingdom. Come and answer me. Come and speak to me. What shall I do? And the Lord came. The Lord came. And he said to David, pursue, overtake, and recover everything. Pursue, overtake, and recover everything. What is it that you do when you come to a place of desperation? when you get into that place of desperation, when you get into that place of feeling that you have no strength left to fight, when you don't even know how to explain how you're feeling, when you just can't see any way out, when the darkness seems like treacle to you, that you're surrounded by it, it's pressing in all around you, what do you do? Do you go to team one and say, oh, woe is me, I am undone? Or do you come into the place of team two and say, I will rise up and I will clothe myself in priestly garments and I will come before the Lord and I will be strengthened today and I will inquire of the Lord and he will show me the way. He will show me the way. Come on, people. It is time. God has not called you to be a grasshopper. He has called you to be a giant in the land. He has called you to be powerful, to pursue, to overtake and recover all that the enemy has taken from you, from your family, from your finances, whatever it is you're battling, from your identity. He is calling you today. He is saying, come before me, people of God. Come before me in your brokenness. Come before me in your weakness. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am not a grasshopper. I am a priest. I am holy. I am redeemed. I am righteous. I am powerful. I have the fire of God in me. And I will inquire in the courts of heaven as to how I move forward today. Amen. If that's not encouragement, what is? Come on, people. It's time to rise up. It's time to come out of that team one and choose another team, a team that's going to battle for you and a team that will stand with you. So God parakaleoed David. He got alongside him. He got near to him. He spoke a strategy over him that brought hope and a purpose and strength for the task. Not just to David. Can you imagine when David came out of that place of the presence? He was carrying that manifest glory of God. Can you imagine the army that were ready to stone him, these men? And he came out and he said, I have the answer. God has spoken. This is what he says, guys. Get your armor back on. Get your weapons back on. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. We are going to war. And we are going to recover everything that has been taken from us. And we will take more. We will take more than what has been stolen. What do you need strength for today? What is outside of you to fix? What kind of encouragement do you need today? Where are you finding your encouragement? Do you go to team one who will wallow with you in self-pity? Are you going to come to team two that are going to drag you out of that stuff and say, hey, get your priestly garments on, get before the Lord and get your heart sorted. Come and be strengthened, be refilled, be re-anointed, be refired with passion and begin to deal with your enemies and your situations that surround you. David took 600 men with him. 600 men is the numerical value of two Hebrew letters. Tav and Resh. Tav, the mark of God's signature. And again, the mark of completion and restoration. Come on. Resh, the head, the mindset. Those guys, those 600 men, prophetically were a sign in number that God was the head of the army. It was his mindset that those men had. They were marked with a signature of God for that task, to pursue, to overtake and recover all that had been stolen. They couldn't lose. They couldn't lose. They knew the victory was already theirs. Even in their number, they were prophetically declaring victory. Even in their number, they were declaring they were marked with the signature of God. Even in their number, they were declaring, we have the voice of God right here. We have his mindset right here. He is the head of this army. Come on. I love it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. The one who prophesies speaks to people for what? Their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort. It's all one thing. It's all one thing to strengthen, to encourage, to comfort. Be with God, people. Know the mind of God. so that you can strengthen others, so that you can draw alongside them, to encourage them, to comfort them, to stand with them in their battle. Teach them how to put on their priestly garments and say, come into the courts of heaven with me. Let's see what God says about this. Let's see what he says about this. Partner with the Lord, with the sword, with that Zayin of God, to be a vessel of breakthrough for those who need help to stand and prevail in their battle. Stand like giants. Stand like giants. Let's be the giants that stand shoulder to shoulder beside one another, being each other's strength, calling each other out of the stuff, taking each other's hands along the journey. We want to enable each other to be the giants we're purposed to be. Yeah. You're called. You're called to be mighty. You're called to be powerful. You're called to be fire-filled. You're called to be anointed. You were appointed for this season. You were born for such a time as this. There's no mistake about your destiny. There's no mistake about your identity. There's no mistake about where you're living, your location, nothing. Right now, you are where God has you to be. If you're not thriving, you need to check out if you're in team one or team two. If you're in team one, you need to shift. You need to move into team two and get alongside giants that will hold you up, that have the strength to hold you up and not drag you further. One time you were that sheep that needed rescue, that needed that encouragement. And as a giant of God, you're called now to bring the other sheep, to help them in their battle. So I want to just read over you basically what we have said this morning, just as a prayer from the Lord. Father, I just thank you that you are the greatest encourager. I thank you, Father, that you strengthen us, that you cause us to prevail, that you teach us how to be courageous, that you call us to stand firm and you strengthen us to sustain. I thank you, Lord, that you are our hedge of protection, that you are our fortress. I thank you, Lord, that when we go into battle, God, that your Zayin is drawn, that your sword is drawn over us, that as we worship you, as we press in, Lord, you fight our battles for us. I thank you, Lord, that you are the listening ear, that you are the oath, you are the circuit, God, that you will bring it about, that there's a time, Lord, for its completion, and you will listen and you will work and you will act and you will fight until that completion comes into being. I thank you, Lord, that we are the sheep, Lord, that you have searched out, Lord, that we're part of that completion of your bride, of your body, God, that we form part of that body, God, a necessary part, nothing missing, nothing broken in everything that you are. I thank you, Lord, that you stand with us, that you sustain us, that your sword is raised against our enemies, that you battle for us, that you fight for us as we worship you, that you are our victorious warrior, that when we feel like we've gone astray or that we're locked in or we failed, Father, you fight for us. We may feel, God, that we're fighting against the odds, but Lord, sometimes we feel we can't see a way out, yet, Lord, you are our great sustainer. You're our strengthener. You're our hedge of protection. You're the one that comes to call out our name, to call us into our identity, to call us back into our destiny and our purpose. You come close. You stand near. Father, teach us how to do that with one another. Give us, Lord, the motivation, Father, even to take this on board today. Lord, that we would be that hedge of protection for others. That we would be that strength for others, that we would say, come on, you can do this. You can still stand. You can still prevail. We'll help sustain you until the completion, until we see breakthrough. Father, let us be ones that stand shoulder to shoulder, holding one another up. Let us be team two, Lord, filled with your power, filled with your passion. In John 17, God, you said that you've given us the glory that the Father gave you, that we may be one as you are one. Lord, that as we stand in unity, that the world will see you. So God, as we learn how to rise up to be giants together, to stand in unity shoulder to shoulder. May the eyes of the world be opened to see you in all your glory, and may they too come to be part of this team too, Lord, to strengthen it even more. We call it in, Father, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're watching this morning and you're struggling, you don't know this Jesus, this great encourager, I just want to just encourage you today. I want to call you in. I want to say to you, come on, it's time to come out of that sick bed. It's time to come out of that darkness. It's time to come out of that situation, that struggle. It's time to surrender your life to Jesus. You know, it says that he who believes in him will never die, but will have everlasting life. He who believes in me will never die, but will have everlasting life. He will fill you with all that he is. He will come and live inside you by his spirit. He will empower you to live for today. You will become a giant in the land, to stand shoulder to shoulder with others who are struggling. Today is your day. If you don't know Jesus, today is your day. Take time with him. Sit down and say, Father God, Jesus Christ, I accept what you did for me. I believe you're the Son of the living God. And today I give my life to you. I surrender to you. Come fill me with your spirit. Come transform me. Come empower me. Come fill me with your fire, that I too may stand shoulder to shoulder in team two and encourage others around me, that I may become part of the completion of the flock of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for watching this morning. I hope that you've been encouraged, and we welcome you to Father's House this morning to just to have been with us. It's been wonderful just to see people on live Facebook and all that's there, and Adam and all these ones that have just come on, Maggie, and we just say hi, good morning, you're welcome. Hello, Kamara David Raju from India. We welcome you here this morning. Bless you, India. Jingo from Uganda, we welcome you here this morning. We bless you guys. Share it onto your Facebook. Let the world know that there is a good God, and he's good all the time. And he's called you to be a giant, and he's called you to be victorious. He's called you to be powerful and fire-filled, and to transform and encourage the lives of others around you. So I bless you today in Jesus' name.